Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. So like I said in the first episode of this season, I got off to a different start this year, and it caused some delays, but I am so glad to be back on the road exploring and sharing great small towns again this year. I'm also excited about a new partner for this season of Small Town Podcast, the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. As part of their sponsorship, they hosted me as I visited with leaders from each of their four incorporated small towns. While I often play episodes all in a row when I do a series like that, I'm going to do things a little different this season, and the episodes from Harrelson County, Georgia will be featured throughout this season. So now we're going to start with the first of those four. Today, we visit the county seat of Harrelson County and hear about the many things this community does in the area of historic preservation. And we talk to a brand new council member who has lived there all his life, but has recently been learning a lot about the inner workings of the town he now serves. We're going to go talk with City Council Member Steve Holcomb in the small town of Buchanan, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs. And the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's HARALSON.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world, but once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right, I am in. It's a council chamber slash courtroom at City Hall in the city of Buchanan, not Buchanan, Buchanan. And I am sitting with a actually newly elected city council member in the city of Buchanan, Mr. Steve Holcomb. So Councilman Steve Holcomb, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Mr. Mayor, welcome to Buchanan. We are glad to have you.
Well, it's good to be here. I've enjoyed driving around a little bit this morning. Wasn't sure. This is my trip to Harrelson County. You have to identify the county seat. Uh-huh. Well, this is it. It's not the biggest of the small towns in Harrelson County, but it is the county seat. So the courthouse is not too far from where we're sitting. And, you know, I said you're a new elected official, but you already had to tell you, hey, I'm going to ask you all this as soon as we start recording again, but you are just a wealth of knowledge about this community, what it has been, what it is becoming. And so I look forward to our conversation today. But I want to start with the same question I start out with everybody, and I already pre-warned you. The first question was going to be, were you born in Buchanan, Georgia?
Well, I've lived here all my life. I'm 65 years old, just turned 65 the other day, and I was born...
Happy birthday.
...just down the road.
Late birthday.
Thanks, sir. I was born just down the road at Tanner Hospital in Carrollton, but I've lived here in Buchanan all my life. I went to college up in Rome, went to a nursing school, and spent 40 years in the ICU in different areas, but the last 30 years over in Douglasville. So I'm a retired critical care nurse and assumed this job just the first of the year. So
yeah,
here
we
are.
We'll definitely get to that. But let me go back and kind of get, because lifelong resident right here in Buchanan. You said family was already here. They just didn't have a hospital right here. So
correct.
Yeah. That's a common thing in small towns. The hospital isn't always where your family is.
Yeah.
So you go to the nearby hospital.
Uh-huh.
But tell us just give us kind of a sense of what life was like growing up here. What's the population of Buchanan?
Well, right now our population is around 1,000. Mm-hmm. It kind of varies a little bit, but right now it's around 1,000.
Do you remember what it was kind of growing up? Has it pretty much stayed stable like that?
I think it has pretty well stayed stable. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, like I say, I've lived here all my life. I remember the days when I was 5 and 6 years old, and a lot of the businesses that were here back then. Things have changed over the years, of course. And we always like to think and say that it's changed for the better. We had some industry back then that we don't have now, but we still have industry and we're looking for more.
Yeah. Well, tell us just kind of a sense of, what was it like growing up here? Did you go to a local school here, or was it a county school that you had to go somewhere else to? What was it like?
Well, I went to Buchanan, the school system here in Buchanan, until the 8th grade. During that time, we consolidated Tallapoosa, West Harrelson, and Buchanan and formed Harrelson County. We became the Rebels. So we transitioned from the Buchanan Yellow Jackets to the Harrelson County Rebels. And that was, in the late 60s. I graduated from Harrelson County in 75.
And right after high school, is that when you went off? You said you went off to college in Rome?
I did. Okay. I went to nursing school up in Rome and came right back. So,
well, I was going to ask that now, because I ask this a lot of times. Someone goes off, whether it's military or a job somewhere else or whatever. When you graduated high school and you go off somewhere else, did you think to yourself at the time, all right, I'm done with this small town, I'm leaving, or did you always know that you'd come back?
Well, I actually didn't leave. I had the I had the privilege of being able to drive back and forth to school.
So, okay, close enough. So you commuted. Okay.
Yeah, I commuted.
So you never did leave.
I actually never did leave. No.
So does that mean that was always, when you graduated, even then, you just knew you wanted to stay in this area?
Yeah.
It was always home?
Oh, man, I love Buchanan. It's a small town, but it's home. There's a lot of history here. My family has a lot of history here. No, I've never really wanted to leave, and I still don't. So,
well, tell us a little bit about that history. You were telling me about it. You said, because I asked you, before we recorded, what made you get involved? I always ask this on the thing. What made you get involved? You said your mother was actually the city clerk here. So you probably spent some time in City Hall as a young man.
I did, yeah, back when I was, still in school here, and she was the city clerk. Actually, before that, she worked for Madison Sanders. He was the superintendent at the time when we transitioned the schools from city to county, or from Buchanan to Harrelson County.
Right, the consolidation.
Anyway, she worked for him, but then she also then started working as a city clerk for Buchanan for many years, and then transitioned over to the county treasurer. When she retired, they did away with that position, and now they have like a county manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even before that, my great-great-grandfather was John Kellett Holcomb, and he was the first sheriff here in Harrelson County back in the late 1800s, around 1880 or so. He was the sheriff for the first 10 years, and actually his name is on the plaque out here in front of the old courthouse.
Okay.
Where the original members of the county government are recognized.
So your family goes back a good bit to
the
founding of the county, even.
Yeah, I've had cousins that were mayor here, and we've always had something to do in the city of Buchanan, so it's home.
Yeah. Well, tell us something. Like I said, you got your notes out and everything.
Mm-hmm. I do. I can only say good things about Buchanan, but I do have notes and stuff, and I can prove it.
Well, tell us something you think someone should know about either Harrelson County or Buchanan specifically as a county seat.
Well, Buchanan is the county seat. The original courthouse was built around 1891 or so, and then the new county courthouse was built around 1972. The old courthouse became a historical event in 74, but it still is here, and we have the Harrelson County Historical Society that has their monthly meetings there, and they're taking care of the old courthouse. We also have other types of community groups that help us in the city. We have Buckhannon Beautification that's headed by Tina Southern, and she has about 20 people that help her. They're constantly going around doing beautification type stuff for the city. There's flowers and they're putting up posters and different things for the city. And then we also have in the old historical courthouse, we have the city, the library. It's the Harrison County Library, but Jana Gentry takes care of that. The city helps with some of that, but they also have events where they raise money and they're constantly doing good things for the kids of Buchanan and the kids of the county. Anybody that wants to come and check out books, they come on. Going back to the Historical Society, we do need more people to come and join because we want to know everybody's history in the county. So come and talk to us, get involved, and be glad to have you there. The city of Buchanan, we have a lot of good things going on for us right now. We're looking like anybody else in a small city. We're always looking for industry to come in. We want to increase our tax base through industry, of course. And we have some things that we're looking at, we're working on. The Chamber of Commerce really helps us out a lot, so we're always looking to them. We do have some property around in the city that is looking for some development, so we have some good things going on.
I think you told me earlier, and I'm forgetting the name, but you said originally Buchanan went by a different name when it first, and I forget the year you said when everything got started, but tell us about that.
Yeah, Buchanan originally was known as Pierceville, but it was only Pierceville for about one, maybe 2 years, and then it was found that there was another city in the state already named Pierceville.
You don't know where that is, do you? Because I've never heard of Pierceville. There's a Pierce County, but there's a Pierce Sun, but I don't know about Pierceville.
I don't know where it's at. Okay. I learned
it
that
might not
from,
exist anymore.
Well, it may not. I learned that from some of the legends that I read about.
We'll research and find it if it's out there.
but it was changed to Buchanan after the president at that time, James Buchanan. So ever since then, we've been Buchanan. So,
I was joking with you when I came in because I was told we got this set up with your Chamber of Commerce to come to all the small towns of Harrison County. Mm-hmm. I was reading the list and I said I said Buchanan. They said no, it's Buchanan. Buchanan.
Yeah.
He said, but you named it. I've been mispronouncing that president's name for years in school because I thought it was James Buchanan.
Yeah, some people call that HK. So we're Buchanan. So.
But hey, like I told you, if the people who live here call it Buchanan, that's its name.
Yeah, yep, that's true.
and no one gets to correct that except you guys. So that's fun. If it's okay, I kind of want to pick your brain about, because you have a career, a 40-year career, I think you said, in healthcare. Uh-huh. Curious, what kind of, was there something that kind of led you in that direction? I mean, when you were in high school, you already knew you wanted to go to school for that?
When I was in high school, my dad, he always told me, you're going to medical school, you're going to be a doctor. But I never,
that was the catalyst.
That was it. Yeah.
Instruction from parents.
He said, I want a doctor in the family and I want you to go. Well, I wasn't so keen on that. I was involved in sports and that was a big deal for me. But I listened. And I had an uncle that, Jim Cash, he was the pharmacist here in Buchanan for many years, had his own business. And anyway, he's passed on now. But back in those days, he was like, "Now, if you don't want to be a doctor, come back and I'll send you to University of Georgia. You can be a pharmacist and come back and work for me." Well, I knew my math skills were not that good, so I kept looking for something else. And it just so happened at high school, we had a nursing recruiter come from Grady Hospital. She put on a very good presentation. So I talked to my uncle about that, and he said, "Well, you can go into nursing school, go into anesthesia, and you can do well in that." So I went to Floyd Junior College, actually, with the idea of going to nursing school. So I commuted back and forth, and I got into the nursing program and graduated, started working critical care in Rome. But I also worked critical care in Bremen at Higgins General Hospital, which is now part of the Tanner system. But really enjoyed my time there, even though it was a small hospital. Small hospitals, you learn a lot. People don't seem to understand that in the medical field because they think you go to the bigger hospitals and bigger is better. Well, that's not always true because in the smaller hospitals, you learn to do a lot of things that you can't do in the big hospitals. You get a lot of hands-on stuff.
I think I told you I've interviewed on a previous episode Dr. Howard McMahon, who's our local family doctor in Ocilla, and he made a similar comment about you have to be a generalist. You don't have enough in a small town in the rural communities. You can't have all the specialists that you might have.
Right.
And so you become, a jack-of-all-trades in the medical field.
Yeah. And even in nursing. And we had some really good physicians there, and they still do in the Bremen area. And in Buchanan, we have Dr. Moran. He's been here with us for a long time, and he's part of the Tanner system now. But we had some good physicians. And like you say, you have to be a jack of all trades when you work in a smaller hospital, because sometimes you're the most qualified to do things, and you do things kind of out of your scope, but you always do things legally. So,
right. I find, and I love your comment on this, because like I said, I told you, hey, yes, I'm interviewing you. You're an elected official from a small town, and that's who I interview. But I find it interesting, elected officials in small towns, that can't be their full-time right. job. They've got a current career, a previous career in your case, and so there's an experience there to draw from. I'd be interested, and I guess you're any kind of commentary. You've got this 40-year career to look back on. Have things, you know, comment on the challenges, maybe some things have gotten better. Mm-hmm. And specifically, you know, physician's assistants and nurse practitioners, I think people say, oh, yeah, they have to, and they do have to work under a doctor, mm-hmm. and it's different for those two positions. But I think those roles are much more heavily relied on in a smaller community, because you may have one doctor that's a general practice, that's a, you know, jack of all trades, like we're saying. And so the other medical professionals play maybe a bigger role or a different role than they would in a metropolitan area, a big hospital.
That is true, because in the larger hospitals, of course, you have more physicians, so you have more people to work with and more people over you. But in the smaller areas, you may be the most qualified to do things, as I said, and it's like nurse practitioners. I'll talk positive about nurses all day long, because I'm a 40-year nurse myself, but nurses they're kind of like the salt of the earth. They really help people in any way they can. My daughter's a nurse practitioner. She works kind of in a smaller area where she's at in South Georgia. And sometimes, you know, she's the nurse practitioners and they don't have a lot of help.
Right.
They may have one physician that's over their group, but they may not always be there. They're always there available in conversation or whatever, but they have to take on a role that we're not used to seeing sometimes. So, and it's always been like that. So,
and that's not unlike, I mean, that's specific to the medical field, but in smaller towns, rural communities, people that weren't necessarily supposed to do mm-hmm. whatever job have to step up, or it doesn't get done, or people don't get treated, things don't get taken care of. I enjoyed talking about that and telling that story on Small Town Podcast, because it's people don't always realize. I mean, yeah, it's there's fewer of us, but that means each of us has to work a little harder and do a little more.
that's true.
What have you seen, I guess, just to reflect on 40 years? I'm sure some things have gotten better. Technology has allowed things to be more efficient and things to work better. But obviously, with structures changing and consolidation, and just like mm-hmm. within schools, hospitals and medical systems mm-hmm. or healthcare systems are consolidating. So just good things, maybe not so good things that you've seen change over the years?
The medical field has improved tremendously from the last 40 years. There were times, you know, like in the critical care area, there were for stroke patients, actually, 40 years ago, we didn't do a whole lot for them. But now there's a lot of interventional ways that we can treat people with strokes and get them back to an almost normal life. Cardiac, heart issues, tremendous, tremendous improvement. You know, sometimes in the critical care area, we do a lot of things. Us old nurses sometimes we wonder, do we do too much sometimes? Because, you know, we can fix your heart, we can fix your kidneys. If we can't physically fix it, we can put you on a machine or something like that. And sometimes we have to wonder, well, are we really doing what's best for the people? But as far as hearts and things like that, we do a lot of good work. Well, I say we. I'm retired. So these folks that are doing it now, they do a good job. So.
Well, if you were in it for 40 years, I'm sure you did your part as well. So.
Yeah, I can tell some stories. So in the last 20 years, I did a lot of teaching, and coming from a small town, you know, common sense is a big part of growing up. So you do things that make common sense to you. So I did that in my teaching when I was in nursing for especially the last 20 years or so. And my young nurses, they said, you know, well, they understand me a little bit better. And I call them, well, that's redneck nursing. So we, you know, it makes sense, and that's how I teach. So I really enjoyed those times.
Well, before we move on, I'll give you this opportunity. What advice would you give to someone that's considering going into the medical field in whatever role? And then second question along those lines, what would you say to someone that's maybe they think, oh, well, I got to go where the action at. Let's go to the big city. Uh-huh. What would you say to them to say, hey, well, here's how the job can be maybe more fulfilling or different or whatever by coming to a smaller community?
Yeah. Well, most people, you know, that go into the medical field, they do it for their own reasons. But you have to have some compassion in your heart to do things for other people, because that's what you're doing. You're doing things for other people, and you don't expect sometimes to do what you do, and people don't expect there to be somebody there to care about them. But you have to have a certain degree of compassion. Now, like I say, everybody has their own reasons for going into the medical field. And I would say, yeah, if you feel that's in your heart or that's something that you want to do, go do it, whether it's nursing, the medical field, physicians, radiology, you know, anything like that. There's so many different things to do. Go ahead and get in there.
And come back to a small town.
And come back to a small town, yeah. You'll appreciate that. You know, you'll see how things are done in the bigger areas, and then you'll come back to a small town, and you'll know what you're appreciating. So
I think there's feels like that where an entire group because of that profession is appreciated overall. But I would argue that in a small town, you know it more. It's a little more of a community rally around people. That's just kind of what we do, you know. That goes for a lot of different law enforcement, public safety. Our frontline nurses and doctors help us get through, especially when there's, I don't know, maybe a global pandemic or something along those lines.
Yeah. Well, during the last couple of years with the COVID and stuff, you know, I know nurses that they just put their head down and they go do what they do.
Yeah.
A lot of things is a have to, and you just put your head down and you go and do what you have to do.
That's it. Yep. Well, I'd like to get back to talking about Buchanan, but before I do, I actually have a set of questions. I've gotten to know you a good bit in your profession and a little bit about you, but just so I got four fun questions. I call my get to know you questions, so it'll help the audience get to know you even more, because it's just one of these questions always seems to get a good story out. Uh-huh. So we'll see which one it is for you. All right, so question number one, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Yeah, I did.
You had to think about it, but then something came over your face.
Well, actually, you know, when I was in high school, I played quarterback for the Rebels and there for a little while, and I was really small. I was fast, though. You had to be as small as I was. So anyway, we won some games back then that we wasn't expected to win. So the newspaper, I got crowned Little Stevie Wonder because actually my coach at the time, Paul Dunn, he kind of coined that because he would say, I just wonder how much he's going to weigh when he comes in on Monday morning. Because at that time, I think I would tell him I weighed 120 when I was the starting quarterback. Actually, I weighed 110. I could still play midget football back then because the weight limit for the eighth graders was 110 pounds.
Yeah.
Here, I'm a sophomore in high school, and I'm starting quarterback at 110 pounds. But
why'd you tell everybody 120 then?
Well, because it'll just look better on paper. So
you didn't want to be known as the guy that could still play midget football.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. So yeah,
Little Stevie Wonder.
I had that nickname, and but you know, I wore it proudly for a while.
Yeah.
So
that was nothing after high school.
Not really. No.
That was you. Just did they call you Little Stevie Wonder for 40 years in your medical career?
Well, the people that know me, not in the medical career. I didn't know only the people around here.
Okay, they didn't find out about that one and pull that one out in one of the hospitals you worked at.
Well, my wife now she says that she can tell the people that I've known for a long time. She said because they'll call you Stevie, and she knows me as Steve. Yeah. So she's like, "Who is Stevie?" And I'm like, "Well, that's me." So
that's me. Just call me Little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Little Stevie Wonder. All right, yeah. Stevie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? It's karaoke night. You're next up. You cue up whatever song you want.
Oh, well, let's see. I've always liked Bad Company, so it would probably be Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, don't ask me to sing it or the words.
That's the karaoke has the words right there for you. That's the beauty.
Yeah.
People say that. Well, I don't know the words. I said, that's the beauty of karaoke. They're right there for you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to carry the tune. That's part of the fun, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Everyone said, well, I can't sing. That's not the point of karaoke.
Well, I grew up in the 70s, or my teenage years in the 70s. So that was the area of the best rock bands ever. So I was lucky to know some of those bands, the Eagles and Bad Company and, you know, the Rolling Stones, Aerosmith. So, yeah, but Bad Company was my song. So,
all right. Next one, what is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Just about anything with chicken is pretty good. Of course, I'm like everybody else. I like steak, but as you get older and your teeth are not as good as they used to be.
Switch to the leaner?
Yeah, go to the softer meal. So, yeah, but.
Grilled, fried? You got a particular way you like it cooked?
Grilled, yeah.
Grilled chicken?
Grilled chicken,
okay.
Yeah.
You're a healthy man.
Yeah.
You got to maintain that weight so you can still play midget football.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I've always tried to stay in the, you know, in fit. I played softball till I was about 50. I actually even played in the men's senior league baseball in Atlanta till I was about 46.
Oh, wow.
So played with a lot of semi-pro, and some of the guys, they even play pro ball. So
wow.
I was lucky to do that till I was about 46. And,
okay.
You know, it's
so that's why I stuck with grilled chicken, so you can keep doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was fun.
Too much fried food, you can't do that as much anymore.
Yeah, well,
the older you get, the harder it is to burn that off.
Yeah, well, and then the older you get, the quicker you get short of breath, and then you know it's time to back up steps. So.
There you go. All right, final question: if you could attend any concert of any singer, band, any kind of performer, but whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
I would like to have seen Jimi Hendrix.
All right.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Good one. All right. Well, thanks for letting us get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, this season we welcomed a new sponsor to the podcast, the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. While I was in Buchanan, I stopped by the chamber to talk about all the communities in Harrelson County and to see how they've been doing the last few years. I got to know someone who has been very involved in economic development in Harrelson County for quite some time.
Hello, my name is Tara Chapman. I am the COO of the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. I have been doing some form of economic development in the community for about 19 years.
And Tara, I want to thank you for sponsoring this season of Small Town Podcast, and thanks for having me up to do a series on the small towns in Harrelson County. So thanks for letting us use your chamber too, your office.
It's a beautiful facility. Why not?
Absolutely. I guess since I'm here, why don't you just kind of give us an overview of maybe some recent events? Obviously, everyone's been dealing with a pandemic. And how have your communities, and especially your business communities in your greater Harrelson area, been faring? What's going on in Harrelson County?
So we are grateful that our businesses are doing so well post-COVID. You know, there was a time where we did not know what was going to happen. I remember we were in the middle of our annual dinner in 2020 when the governor of Georgia closed schools for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they never went back. And I have two of my own. So I lived that, working from home and dealing all that. But I remember being so fearful for my businesses, because that was a scary time really for all of us. But I couldn't imagine owning my own business and trying to figure out what to do. And we're grateful that they all survived. And they're still doing great. And what we're seeing now is a new love and appreciation for our small business, our local business. And that is something that we really push. Love for local is a kind of a new thing that we've started pushing out and making people understand it's more than just spending money at a business.
Right, right.
You know, it's that Facebook like or that share or a Google review or referrals and those types of things. And so we're really seeing a new sense of community post-COVID that we did not see prior to COVID. So, you know, if you want to find the pot of gold, I guess, at the end of the rainbow, that would be it. And for us, I think overall, we did not see any business closings. They all made it.
Wow.
They figured out. They adapted.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just there every step of the way. You know, we were passionate about it. We were concerned for our businesses. And so we just wanted to make sure that everybody survived. And that is not taking the credit away from them. They did it. But we were just kind of there as the support. So I like kind of the energy we're seeing right now with our small businesses, especially in the downtown areas.
I was actually going to ask this already, but you've already like set it up perfectly, because in several conversations I'm having with very much respect to COVID and the lockdowns and the challenges, the word resiliency keeps coming up overall, you know, and throughout the country, throughout our state, but I'm more interested in small towns. And so the resiliency of small towns, the resiliency of rural communities, in some ways watching people – adapt, and some of it is happening on farms and people with agribusiness, agritourism and agribusiness types of operations. Nobody would have wished this on anybody, of course. Nobody says, oh man, COVID was a good thing. No one's going to say that. But people have been able to, through innovation and ingenuity, made their business really thrive because of the reaction to it. So I'm sure you've seen some of that in the communities in Harrelson County. So I guess just speak to that. Is that fair to say that resilience, not only do they all make it, I bet there's some cases where, wow, I mean, they just really came together and made some things happen that may not have happened otherwise.
Yes, for sure. I can't think of like an exact example, but I don't know. You're just kind of seeing them all pull together, support each other.
So for here, it was like the sense of community.
It was.
Perhaps. I mean, mm-hmm. you just said your love for local and mm-hmm. realizing that's more than just spending the dollar. Obviously, everybody wants the dollar spent
right.
locally. But the other ways of supporting each other really just seem to energize.
Yes, and so. Reminding people that they're the businesses you're going to hit up to sponsor your ball team, right? Amazon's yeah. not going to probably come out here and support
right.
a ball team,
right.
have their logo on a jersey, or support the local 5Ks and those types of things. And so, you know, it's just really that push for just remember, you know, those folks that you're going to be asking for support of. Let's make sure we're showing that same amount of love to them. And, you know, one of my favorite stories was a local boutique, and this was a personal experience, but it was Easter and everything was kind of locked down. And this would have been in 2020, and I had kids and they were expecting a little something on Easter Sunday morning, you know,
yeah.
and she would literally FaceTime her customers and walk us through the store.
Wow.
To pick out items. And then if we were local enough, she would actually deliver it to our home. So, wow, right? Yeah. And that's something I remember now, 2 years later.
Sure.
Because she was willing
to go the extra mile.
Right. She took that time. And, you know, it made us all kind of ready for, or to know that, hey, anything can happen. So we need to be ready from that online and that virtual perspective as well. You know, so you see a lot of that now, a lot of storefronts opening, but still they have that virtual component, the online ordering and that type of stuff, just to keep all avenues open. So I think that that really pushed a lot of our smaller businesses that maybe didn't think about website or online ordering or ordering, you know, through Facebook, comments sold, those
sure.
types of things. It has pushed them to kind of do that and manage both. And so that's kind of been the main thing. And just that, yeah, that sense of community. I'm meeting monthly with businesses that are just getting together on their own
mm-hmm.
to talk about, what do we want to see our downtowns look like? What do we expect from our leadership, and having those conversations? And we actually just took a group a couple weeks ago to another town in Georgia to look at their downtown and how they have grown from slum and blight to something very vibrant and thriving, and taking kind of some notes out of their playbook and see what we can do here.
You've mentioned, and you just started talking about downtown again. You referenced really liking seeing what's happening in your downtown communities in Harrelson County. And then you also mentioned kind of just your local businesses are the ones that are going to be more supportive of the Little League, the high school athletics, or the clubs and things like that. It seemed to me, and I'd be interested in your perspective, boots on the ground here in Harrelson County, that there was already a little bit of a trend back towards downtown revitalization, back towards your local mom and pop. People seem to be a little more willing to step out because there was, I guess, more support for that local business versus the chain, because we've done good education. A lot of that's been chambers of commerce, making sure people know, okay, if you spend a dollar at this business, most of it's going to corporate headquarters somewhere else. If you spend a dollar in this business, it's all staying right here because they bank at the local bank, you know, they shop at the local stores, all that. Do you think that what you've seen in the last 2 years just it seems like it might have accelerated in some ways, that the downtown revitalization, people had to stay close during lockdowns. People had to rely on people who are willing to go and FaceTime for Easter presents, mm-hmm. like you just said. So are you seeing that continue? And maybe I should say, do you think it can? I would hope people would remember, just like you did, a story from 2 years ago. But I also know sometimes we don't. So what do we need to do in Harrelson County and throughout Georgia just to make sure we're continuing that trend in both downtown revitalization and just local business?
I think it all starts, you know, my answer is always it starts with leadership. You've got to have the support of your leadership, because there are certain ordinances and things like that have to go into place. I've been on many calls statewide with other organizations, And that is seems to be the trend, at least in Georgia, across the board as it comes to downtowns. Some of the reasoning for that varied. I can't quote it, but one of the things I did remember was the gentleman saying that what we're seeing is a lot of people figured out they liked this work from home gig. So they're able to work from home, but they're also able to open a store. So we're seeing entrepreneurship pick up because it's something they wanted to do. Well, now they have the time because now I can work anywhere. I can work remote.
Right. Easier and to kind of do both.
To do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was very interesting to me as well. Something that I did not really put two and two together, but that has been, I think, the trend post COVID. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, they are relating that back to entrepreneurs who are they decided to take the plunge. Because they also have, obviously, that backup income, but they're able to stay local and do both. And so that has been interesting to see. I can't think of a prime example of that here, but just across the state, that seems to be the trend that is happening.
Well, I don't think remote work is going away anytime soon. So if that creates the startup, the business on the side opportunity more, I think that'll be an accelerating trend too.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's really interesting.
Very interesting. That's what I said. I was intrigued.
Well, looking forward to getting to know more about the small towns of Harrelson County, and thanks again for being our gracious host.
Thank you.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment and recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
I want to learn more about Buchanan. You actually referenced already in our conversation the historical society and some of the rich history, but just tell us if someone came, what are some of the sites that they could visit? What are some of the things that have happened here as far as this rich history?
Yeah, well, the Harrelson County Historical Society, we work in correlation with them, the city of Buchanan and the society, plus the library and Friends of the Library, I think is what they're known, but also the Buchanan Beautification. So we all kind of work together. Every year in coordination, there's Fair on the Square that happens in May of every year. It's a big deal and have a lot of people from outside the area. But we also have the Fried Pie Festival in the fall. And it has turned into a really big deal. Past year, the vendors, we had over 100 vendors. And everybody comes and brings their own pies and wares.
Oh, that's for the fried pie. Okay, so there's two events. So the
two separate events.
Fair on the Square is every May.
Right.
And then the fried pie
is later. It's in the fall. Okay. I don't remember if it's September or October.
And they're both in coordination with the Historical Society?
The Historical Society, Friends of the Library, the City of Buchanan.
And everybody works together. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the fried pie, I know this past year we had, like I said, it was over 100 vendors, and people bring their own wares and such.
Yeah, yeah.
Pies are the big deal. So we had, I know we
fried pie specifically, right?
Fried pie, we have people come from everywhere just for a fried pie. I think they sold over 3,000 fried pies, and that wasn't enough. This all starts like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and somebody came from, I think, from Cedartown to get a fried pie at 12 o'clock. They were all gone.
Wow.
So we're encouraging people to...
So come early if you want to make sure you get your fried pie is the message I'm getting here.
And anybody that... We're even... My wife and I, we're going to set our own booth up because we didn't have enough fried pies.
Yeah.
So if you want to get involved, just check with the Harrelson County Historical Society and they'll set you up. So,
and go back to, because that's just it's on a Saturday, and it's just vendors, mm-hmm. and there's just a festival and activities and lots of fried pie, it obviously.
Lasts, yeah. The
seating, not enough, lots, but not enough of fried pies.
That's correct. All different kinds of fried pies, and there's never enough. So,
and the fair on the square is every May, and is that similar, same site? And it's just
it is.
Okay.
Yeah, they set up booths around the city. Yeah. Some of the streets are blocked off, and sometimes they'll have music, and they'll have food trucks coming in,
yeah.
and different things going on.
Just
so
a big gathering, and it's all
it
day.
Is.
So you got something in the spring, and then something in the fall.
That's right. And then we also have the citywide yard sale, too.
So, oh, man, okay.
So people can bring their, you know, what they want to put in a yard sale, and it works out. And then we have those spread out all across the city and just outside the city. So yard sale's a big deal, too. We
yeah.
have three big events, plus other things, so... There's always something going on in Buchanan.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You just have to keep looking at the city website and find out what's going on.
Talk about, you mentioned, because you were talking about, like I said, the Historical Society. So they do a lot of the actual events, but they also have, there's some properties that people can tour of a historical nature.
Yeah, the Little Creek Schoolhouse sits off Van Wert Street. It's right next to the county commissioner's office. And at one time, and it's a true old building. It was brought in... probably built around the late 1800s. It was one of 23 schools in the area where one-room schools were, that was the way people were educated. And apparently there was, out of those 23 schools, there was over 1,000 kids that went either from first to eighth grade or whatever. But this Little Creek Schoolhouse was preserved and is now sitting in the city of Buchanan. And you can request tours. It's open on the days these events take place. But if you can't make it then, you can schedule a tour through the Historical Society and go in and take a look at the school.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. I want to ask you, it sounds like we talked so much about your career and what you did in the medical field, but then after that, you decided to get involved directly in local government. And here we are on a podcast. I introduce you as the councilman, but you're newly elected. So you're in your very first year of your very first term.
Uh-huh.
So talk about why... What made you want to do that? What made you want to get involved? And you kind of joked. You said, well, I'm retired.
Well, yeah, I'm retired. I retired in officially 2019, but my last working day was in 2018. I had some medical issues, but I'm truly retired now. And I've always had family that have been in city government. I had a cousin, Donnie Rainey. He was the mayor here for a while, and I always respected what people did for the city and how things have been done. Anyway, he called me one day and he said, hey, there's a position on the council. He said, it's your time.
And your turn, cousin.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it was. So I looked at it and I said, well, okay, I guess so. I have the time to do it, and I have the will and respect for the city to do it, and to maybe I can help and do something for the city. So
you already mentioned when we started this conversation that you ran without opposition. So it was not, there was not a,
yeah. And I did.
You, but it's, what's funny, what people I think would be surprised to hear is you wished you had gotten opposition.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's what some people say. Well, you, that was good for you. And I'm like, well, no, I wish there was a little more interest. You know, there's some good people here in this city, and there's some people smarter than me when it comes to politics. And I was like, well, no, I don't like the apathy of there not being anybody running. I said, I wish there had been somebody. And, you know, if somebody knows more than I do, I would wish them the best. And I even told a lady the other day that, you know, we have a venue, and she was at our venue, and I was telling her, I said, heck, I wish somebody had ran. I'd let them put a poster out here in my front yard at my business. And if they wanted to, I said, because the best person is who we want in there. And I said, nobody ran. So I will do a good job. I'm not going to do a bad job. Anyway, I'll do what's best for the city, because like I told you before, this place means a lot to me. It's a special place.
You mentioned, when you know, in telling your story, you ran because it was, quote, your time. You were told so by a family member. It's your turn to get involved.
Uh-huh.
But now that you're in, or maybe as you realize you were definitely going to, because after qualifying week, when you're the only one.
Yeah, well.
No campaigning necessary.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Now, in Buchanan, is it at-large council members, or they have districts? How does that work?
It's
every city's
large.
Different. Everyone's at-large. And how many council members do you have?
There's four council members and a mayor.
And the mayor, yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the city clerk, Sherry Taylor, and and then we have Heath Lee. He's one of the department heads. And Brent Christopher is our chief of police. And I, what I have noticed, and I've only been in working with these people since January 1, and what I have noticed is these people have a real interest in our city. We are lucky to have these people. AJ is our mayor, and he's looking to the future. I'm a listener, and that's what I told you earlier. I like to sit back and listen and see what's going on. And what I have observed is these people are looking at the interest of this city. And the people that don't know, you don't know how lucky you are.
You are. You've gotten immersed in this. You've gotten to know. You've gotten to see things from the inside for just a little while.
Uh-huh.
What, if anything, would you like to, I guess, you know, if you kind of found a pet project or something you want to kind of focus on yourself because of a particular interest?
Yeah, well, I noticed before I even thought about being on the city council that, you know, I'm always seeing young people looking for places to live. And the housing in our county is, it's lacking. And, of course, if you talk about the county, you're talking about the cities. So, you know, we're also lacking in housing in individual cities. So I thought, well, maybe let me get in there and I'll see what I can do for housing and such. And even though I've lived here for my whole 65 years, you don't know until you get in and take a good look at what really goes on and what, you know, what's really in front of you. You don't know it's there. So there are some issues. And my first week here, I told Heath Lee, I said, I want you to take me on a tour of the city. And he did. And we're looking at the infrastructure. We're looking at pumping stations for our sewage. And our sewage, our wastewater treatment system, that was rebuilt in 18, I believe, or put in new. And I'm really impressed with what they have out there and the potential for growth because of our wastewater treatment. But also, he took me around to the pumping stations. And we have a couple of pumping stations that have been upgraded and look pretty good, but we also have some pumping stations that have been here since the 60s.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. That's a long time.
Yeah, most of the residents, they don't notice. Think about that level of infrastructure, affects your water, your wastewater, uh-huh. until something happens at their house or their business,
right.
and then they make a phone call. Hey, you guys got to fix this.
That's right.
But you get on the inside, like you say, you get that tour. You've been here 65 years. You just got a tour of the city in a way that you hadn't had in that entire time, and you kind of see how things are and some of the challenges and everything.
That is true.
But you are dead on correct that, and a lot of people don't realize if you want to develop, bring industry and grow a little bit economically with your housing, have more to offer. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that infrastructure in place, you're going to get stopped short on some of that growth potential.
I learned that quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking at the infrastructure that we do have and the repairs and the upgrades that we need, if we had $2 million right now, that wouldn't be enough.
Right. And everyone thinks that's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, it's not when it comes to infrastructure in cities.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know that until you get in and you see what really goes on. So.
And those are the areas where that population density is a little bit of a disadvantage.
It's nice
to be spread out, but then when you've got the same, you need the same infrastructure that a more densely populated area does. It just costs more per person.
Uh-huh.
And that tax digest growth, you actually referenced that, I think, earlier in our conversation. You gotta grow that to keep things going. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah, but cities only have a few ways of getting money where they can do work. And, you know, property taxes are the biggest. That's the way most cities get their money. But there are also T-Splosh and LOSH funds and those things. And people don't like that one penny sales tax or whatever. But if you get in there and you see what that does for the cities and that gives them money to do things, then you kind of understand then.
I think people like to see what it's connected to. And so the special projects, the SPLOST, when you say, hey, it goes for this and this and this, and that's all, I find across the state, people are much more willing to say, okay, I know what this penny's going for. It's when it goes into the abyss and they can't see it that they get skeptical about things. So.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always the Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And if they really were interested and they come in, they take a look at things that are really concrete issues. They don't want to be that Monday morning quarterback anymore. they see what the real problems are. And it's like, you know, sometimes you'll see some posts. Sometimes social media can be, can be the devil.
Yeah.
And you'll see things posted about so-and-so putting money in their pocket. Well, that's not true. Not that I know of anyway, because I look at the budget that the city works with, and the city budget here is a little over $800,000, and they have to balance. It's state mandated. That budget has to be balanced.
Every year.
It's, you know, Buchanan's fiscal year runs July to July, and they're working on the budget right now, and it will be balanced. There's not any money left over for any pet projects, or there's no money left over for anybody to slip in their pocket, because it takes every penny yep. to run a city.
And in certain years, it's easy to have a revenue shortfall uh-huh. and the expenses go a little over because of unanticipated things that come yeah. up. That yeah, yeah.
And then you have to be creative, but you have to be legally creative.
Right, legally creative. Good clarification.
Yeah. But I do want to throw a shout out to GMA, Georgia Municipal Association. Anytime a newly elected official comes into office, they are mandated to go to this program at yeah. the University of Georgia or at South Georgia. And it's a university system of Georgia program, but that program is really educational. You know, I really enjoyed going there. It was 2.5 days, and you go through a list of things that you need to know, but there's no way you can learn that in 2.5 days. A lot of that, you hope you can retain some of that, because eventually you're going to run into it during your 4-year period or whatever your period is on the council or as a mayor or whatever, or as an elected official. But I do want to throw a little shout out to GMA because their program was excellent.
Well, let me give you some encouragement because I'm a huge fan of the Georgia Municipal Association, not only because they're a sponsor of this podcast, which they continue to be. Yeah, that's right. But what you got was a crash course.
Uh-huh.
And there are each topic that got covered in, you know, uh-huh. 45 minutes to an hour,
uh-huh.
there's a much longer, more in-depth course for it, I guarantee you. And yeah. I'd encourage you, because GMA and also their partnership with the Carl Vinson Institute of Government at UGA uh-huh. is who puts those on every time there's a convention, a conference, a mm-hmm. meeting, and then they even have special training sessions.
Yeah.
And if you are not constantly learning, because there's so much to learn, and then even once you learn it, there's so much that changes you have to keep up with.
You do.
On every topic yeah. that we touch. And
yeah.
so the ones that they get elected and think they mm-hmm. know everything and think that uh-huh. this new elected officials class you went to is just to check the box, I already know this stuff, I don't need this.
Yeah.
Boy, their towns and cities are in trouble.
that's true.
There's just so much to learn and so much to do and so many resources that are available mm-hmm. to us. So, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed that, and I hope you'll continue to increase that education because there's plenty more for you.
Well, I related those classes to the medical field because that's what I know, and it's constant education. You got to constantly update your learning or your capacity to learn. You've got to constantly update because that's what you're doing for whether it's your patient or if it's the citizen of your town.
Right.
You're doing good for them, so you have to constantly. And I'm always getting emails from the GMA about different classes, just like what you say,
mm-hmm.
that are more specific for that crash course.
Yeah.
And because it was a crash course. And
yeah.
I was impressed, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. They know more about municipal government than we'll ever know. we don't learn from them.
That's true.
Well, Councilman Steve Holcomb, as we kind of wrap things up on the episode on Buck Cannon, I want to give you the same opportunity I give everybody and just let you talk directly to the Small Town Podcast audience. Tell them why they should come visit and come get a fried pie maybe, or maybe they should think about coming move to Buck Cannon, Georgia.
Yeah, well, if you want to come and move here, like I said, there's a lacking of housing right now, but we're working on that. We do have some properties inside the city where maybe some development is coming. Can't speak specifically to any of that, but we're working on those things. And we have a city government here that is truly progressive. They're already looking for things happening, not just 5 or 10 years from now, but 15, 20 years from now. They're looking ahead. And I've been impressed with the people that I work with. We have different things going on. I just got involved in the last year with the Historical Society. Those people are really dedicated to what they do, too. They take care of that building. Just had some folks up on top of that courthouse and working on it, trying to fix the leaks. And there's always something going on. It's an old building, but they're really working on it. The Fried Pie Festival is a huge deal. People will come from everywhere. So if look up some information about it, and you'll probably want to come spend the day in Buchanan. We have a progressive police department. Brent Christopher is our police chief. I've been impressed with the educational opportunities he's putting to his young officers, making them professional in what they do. You know, everything that's going on here, I've been impressed with. Like I say, we do have some infrastructure needs that we want to work on. We're hoping that the governor's going to help us out with some of his discretion funds. We'll see. We're looking at more improvements in our infrastructure. We do have some facilities that need upgraded. We do have some ideas, things that possibly will happen in the near future here in the city. our wastewater treatment plant I've already mentioned is, I've been impressed with that. You know, we do about 8,500 gallons a day of waste treatment, but we can jump up to 200,000. And if we build another POO, we can go up to 400,000. So you people in industry, you listen to me. We're looking to the future and we want you to come. We want your tax dollars to come help our citizens of Buchanan. So there's a lot of positive things going on here in the city. We're looking at also working on some of our recreational issues for our kids, because we want our kids to enjoy living here in Buchanan, just like I have. You know, I was involved in community sports for over 20 years there while I was in nursing, and had the opportunity to work with a lot of good young men that have become good young fathers, and we take our kids seriously here. We want them to become good citizens, not just of Buchanan or of the county or of the state, but of this country. There's a lot of issues going on right now. Of course, we all know that in different places. We need to do our part to make things better. So Buchanan has kind of got our finger in the pie. And
the fried pie.
And we're doing our part, I hope, and I think we are.
Well, Councilman Steve Holcomb, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate it.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Council Member Steve Holcomb for talking with me. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and again, this year's newest sponsor, the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.